This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And at 9:05, it's time now for Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. By Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. By Security National Bank, with locations to serve you in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. By Midwest Basement Technologies, call 618-372-7077. By the Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro. By Kurtz 24-Hour Heavy and Light Duty Towing in Litchfield. And by Hillsboro Area Hospital, your front door to a world of healthcare. Here are the guys. It's Tim Mice and Terry Doak.
Tobinat, thank you very much, and welcome to WSMI Sports Saturday. The madness is upon us.
And Uncle Ralph is away on assignment.
Yes.
Doing the chops.
Doing the chops.
For the Roubaix today.
So if you're going to the Roubaix, you're going to get a delicious chop, courtesy of Uncle Ralph Niehaus.
And we have to let him, you know, that contract was signed before the Sports Saturday contract.
Yes, it supersedes his deal supersedes. With Wisby.
Well, I think the bikers riding in the Roubaix are lucky they're getting this done before
snow.
Before heck freezes over tomorrow.
Yeah.
Before heck freezes over.
Hmm. I like my job. I can't say the other word, can I?
Well, you can't say hell.
All right, fine. Before hell freezes over.
Well, now you're in trouble.
Now you're
said
in trouble.
Multiple times.
There you go, Tobin. We got it on.
Peer pressure, Tobin.
That's right. We
got
it on.
You got to withstand it. Speaking of the snow, I guess we're going to get lots of it tonight over tomorrow. But, Terry, last night I was flipping through the television after the ball games were over, and there was a World Cup qualifier, U.S. and I think Costa Rica.
Costa Rica.
They were playing in a thunder snowstorm. I've never seen anything like this. It was incredible.
Basically, the only thing that will stop a soccer match is lightning, monsoon, tornadic activity, or an earthquake.
Other than that, they're playing.
I mean, especially when you get the high-end level, they don't care. And, you know, these guys are out there. It's a blizzard. I mean, it's just god-awful. And they're out there in their shorts and their short-sleeve shirts and stuff. And I'm going, you know, at least the kids around here are smart enough to put on some long pants and some jackets and stuff. And you know, a lot of that has to do with sponsorships and stuff like that, which we don't have to worry about at the high school level. But, yeah, they're out there playing in this miserable snowstorm.
And then after all that, they take their jerseys off and exchange them with the opponent.
Yeah,
but, you know, they're out there with their hands clearing away snow off the field for the free kicks. I've never seen a soccer game played in such a snowstorm.
And you know, and the thing of it is that you can't get a whole lot of traction. You can't do a whole lot with the ball. But you're still banging bodies in there on a cold night. I mean, it's a brutal, brutal – it can be an extremely brutal sport.
We're not that far away from opening day.
Oh, no.
Major League Baseball.
No.
I remember – it was a while ago. I remember a Cardinal home game got snowed out.
Sure.
Now, I mean, I don't know, 10 years ago maybe?
You know, we forget last year how warm it was, and we kind of think, well, that's good because we're here in March and it's nice and warm in there. But that's not the norm. That is not the norm. The norm is it's still pretty miserably cold and wet, and we get snow, and it doesn't stay around long a lot of times, but we do get it. So
I remember being up at the state basketball tournament years ago, waiting in line, like before the sun came up, for tickets to the state tournament. Just miserable. Just so windy, cold, just nasty.
You know, it seems like it's always breezy in Peoria as well.
Yes.
But it was much windier in Champaign when they had the state tournament there. I mean, it was a gale force wind when you were standing there waiting for tickets at the Illini, at the Assembly Hall. So, anyway.
Hey, speaking of the state tournament.
Yes.
Hats off, job well done to the IHSA once again for a fabulous job of running their state basketball tournament. Just sensational.
And you were right, Tim. All the top-ranked teams in 1A through 4A boys finished first in the tournaments.
I was not right.
You weren't?
I was, because I went up there last Saturday looking at the program. Simeon finished second.
Oh, did they?
Whitney Young finished number one ranked in the state.
Oh, did they?
Even though Simeon had beat them in the regular season. So I was wrong.
Okay.
Although I considered Simeon.
Well,
most people considered Simeon the best team in the state.
Yeah. And maybe at the time of the printing of the program, that was what it was.
Right.
So, I think the final poll, though, had Simeon number one.
Okay, maybe it did.
So,
but technically speaking,
and anyway, that's my story, and I'm sticking with it. I may be wrong, but, you know, who cares?
That's right.
They're number one, and we figured it was going to be number one. And Jabari Parker, what a terrific young man. And as nice of a ball player as he is, he's a better young man, it looks like. So,
and that's,
Duke is getting themselves a terrific ball player.
Yes, and I'll tell you what, the Illini are getting themselves a couple of terrific ball players, too, with Kendrick Nunn and Jalen Tate.
I tell you what, What happened last night with the Illini at the start of the second half will not happen under John Gross with these guys next year.
No, that's right.
These are still Weber's boys.
You know, we saw what happened to Weber's boys.
Yeah. So
I hate to tell Kansas State fans, but this is as good as it's going to get. You've just seen the high water mark for Bruce Weber at Kansas State.
Trying to call that timeout with a second and a half left.
We've seen that face before.
Oh, my gosh. Like, come on. You know, and again, if I have any criticism of the rules of basketball, and I usually don't. It's a pretty good sport. It takes care of itself. But I still don't like coaches having the right to call timeout. I just don't like that rule. I've never liked that rule. And in high school, I think they need a continuation.
Yeah.
So those are the only two tweaks I would make in basketball as far as the rules are concerned. Other than that, it's a pretty good sport, and it runs itself pretty well.
It absolutely does. I got one for you, though.
Yeah.
Get the possession arrow out.
I like the jump balls. I could live with the jump balls.
The problem I have with the possession arrow is it rarely rewards the hustle of the defense. It just seems more times than not that the defense reaches in there, sticks their nose, and ties the ball up, and the arrow's going.
And you know
offense.
What, Tim? They took the jump balls out because people had trouble throwing jump balls straight. Well, when you never do it, you have even more trouble.
Right.
So go back to doing it, and let's toss it out. I always thought it was kind of neat to have the jump balls at the free throw lanes.
Yes.
Free throw lines, and you know, that was part of the game. And, you know, we've gotten used to it. Doesn't necessarily mean we've liked it. It does allow the game to flow a lot quicker, but then you lose some strategy, too. I mean, if you get these little guys reaching in, tying up the tall guys, well, you get the tall guy with the definite advantage for the tip. You know, you shouldn't be, you know, just because it's a jump ball, you shouldn't have to give it away. So.
Right.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you, but
I don't think it's going anywhere.
I don't think it's going anywhere, you know. But I still think the continuation rule number one is probably the big one that the high school needs to really take a look at, and then get rid of the coaches calling timeouts.
Yes.
And I know I will get arguments out the wazoo, but I just have never liked it.
And I thought I saw a little bit more of the continuation in high school this year, maybe than in years past.
I think we're seeing more of it. Yeah.
And it might be one of those things, Terry, where it's kind of like...
We're going to go ahead and do it, you know?
Just like the jump stop.
Yes.
You know, that never actually got changed out of the rule book. It's still a travel.
It's still traveling.
But it's just kind of over the course of time has ceased to be called. And you wonder if maybe the continuation thing, if they just start to lax that a little bit.
Well, you know, and you'll have players in high school, especially at the 3A, 4A level, you know, do the 360. That's traveling.
Right.
99% of the time, it's traveling.
Well, that's what I always laugh sometimes, like... At a high school game, you'll see kids do a move, you know, and they call it traveling. They'll look at the ref like, what? You know, thinking to myself, I saw LeBron do it.
Yeah.
But LeBron's 6'9", 260.
And he gets paid gazillions of dollars to entertain. You're playing basketball, it's still traveling.
Right. Did you see that dunk that LeBron had the other night when they played the Celtics, that alley-oop dunk?
No.
The definition of a posterization. Oh, really? Of Jason Terry. This guy was in the wrong place at the wrong time. Like, he's back trying to stop a 2-on-1, turns around, next thing he knows, LeBron's basically got his knee right in his face and just throwing it down.
He did that again in Cleveland.
That
was the first time he's ever gotten a standing ovation in Cleveland in three years.
So filthy.
Wow.
I mean, when you watch him play, you actually have to remind yourself how big he is.
And how young he is.
Oh.
He's been around seemingly forever, but the guy is still young.
He's still in his
20s.
Not even in his prime yet, conceivably. He's still a year or two away from his prime, probably. And he's got that low post game now.
Yeah.
And he's unguardable.
Yeah,
he is unguardable.
You know, there are very few people over the history of the National Basketball Association. And I'm not a big fan of NBA-style basketball because I just don't like the clear out and some of the other crap that goes along with it, personally. But there are certain people that, you know, the Birds, the Magics, the Jordans, you know, LeBron, you know, Bill Russell, there's John Havlicek. There are certain people that above and beyond. So
he's worth the price.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know what the price of an NBA ticket is. I'm sure it's not cheap.
Well,
but if you go and watch LeBron play, you're not going to get cheated.
You know, and just thinking ahead, Team USA for the next Olympics. Wow.
Yeah.
With the talent that's coming out of college now.
And, you know, that's the great thing about LeBron. He's kind of been the face of USA basketball during the resurgence.
And the thing about LeBron, he's not the show. He facilitates everybody else.
That's what I like.
That's what makes Team USA basketball at the Olympic level so enjoyable. You need the basket, LeBron can get it. But, you know, this guy can pass the ball. This guy can bring the ball up. This guy can do just virtually everything.
I've thought for years that Kobe is the closest thing I've seen to Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
LeBron, I've always thought, is Magic Johnson.
Yes.
I mean, he plays every position. Like, we're talking about Jabari Parker. I was looking at the program last weekend. He's listed as a guard, forward, and center.
Yeah.
Well, that's all the positions. There's no more position that you could possibly play. He's got them all covered. And LeBron's the same way.
Yeah.
Magic was the same way.
Yes.
When you can play literally 1 to 5 and guard any of those positions
Not only play 1 to 5, but play them all well.
Play them all well.
You know.
Yes, at an elite level. Yeah. I mean, I could go out and play center. It'd be an unmitigated disaster, but I could do it. Couldn't do it well.
But still, you know, and I don't know whoever they're going to end up with as the head of the Team USA basketball for the next Olympics, but my gosh, are they going to have a talent pool that just, wow. I love watching Olympic basketball. Oh, that is so much fun.
It's good stuff.
Because basketball is good around the world now. And even though Team USA tends to dominate, there's just so much great basketball around the world.
Well, Team USA dominates now, but they don't get to dominate Angola
like the Dream Team did
back in 1992. Yeah. Like you said, the talent level has risen slightly.
But that's good.
Yes.
That's exactly what you need. You know, and that's what the World Baseball Classic cannot deliver. At least to Americans.
That's the key right there. Yeah. Around the world, that event is incredibly popular. America, we don't care.
Yeah.
You know, we're in spring training mode, March Madness mode. But around the world, I guess, like the games that were in Japan or in Puerto Rico, sold out. TV ratings through the roof in those countries. America,
And you know what? Bud Selig is probably saying, that's okay.
And that was probably the goal.
Yeah.
Baseball's fine in America.
Yes.
You know?
It's not hurting.
No.
Packed stadiums, big contracts, bigger TV contracts, ratings are up, attendance is up. Bud's doing okay.
Bud's doing okay.
I hate to admit it, but Bud's done a pretty nice job.
With the moronic Roger Goodell ruining football, Gary Bettman with his head up his keister, Bud Selig is looking like a better commissioner each and every day. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. We will be back with more sports conversation following these messages.
This is Jim Miller with Security National Bank. Farmers, it's time to get your spring finances in order, and we're ready to help you at Security National Bank, a small-town bank where we know your name and with an established reputation in the area since 1932. We can help with all of your ag lending needs. Stop by and see us today, Security National Bank, big enough to serve you, small enough to know you, with 4 locations to serve you in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. Business on the web at securitynb.com, member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light-duty towing has moved to the Goodyear building behind Denny's Restaurant in Litchfield. Kurt's has commercial Goodyear tires, complete exhaust service, and heavy and light-duty towing. Kurt's Crew Cab Rollback can transport your family and your car. Kurt's 24-hour towing can tow anything from your semi to your motorcycle. So, when you need a tow, remember 324-2400. Kurt's 24-hour towing in Litchfield.
And at 9:18, let's take a look at the weather forecast brought to you by Paris Posen Foods in Hillsboro. It's the home of the Big Porky. Partly cloudy skies for today. We'll have highs in the upper 40s for tonight. Cloudy skies with snow beginning late in the evening. Expect a low of around 30 degrees. Cloudy skies and snow continuing on through Sunday. We'll have highs in the mid-30s. Up to 6 inches of snow is possible for Sunday and Sunday night. Extended look at the forecast Monday through Wednesday. Cloudy skies, chance of snow on Monday. Expect highs in the mid-40s. The lows will be in the low 30s. At 9:18, we have a temperature reading of 38 degrees. And the weather forecast is brought to you by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro. It's the home of the Big Porky. Sports Saturday continues in just a moment.
April showers bring Mayflowers, as well as leaky, wet, and musty basements and crawl spaces. Midwest Basement Tech has a permanent guaranteed solution. If it's leaking, cracking, buckling, or sinking, there's only one place to call. Midwest Basement Tech at 1-800-848-9805. Serving Central Illinois for over 30 years with local service techs and free estimates. Don't make a mistake with your home's foundation repairs. Call now 1-800-848-9805 or visit them on the web at MidwestBasementTech.com for money-saving coupons.
Farming doesn't follow an 8-to-5 schedule. A slow week is 60 to 80 hours. My land, livestock, and family rely on me. That's why I bought farm insurance from Auto Owners Insurance, because every policy comes with a local agent, a real person who lives right in my community, who I can rely on to keep my farm covered no matter what.
See the Bruce Webb Insurance Agency in Farmersville or Raymond.
And at 9:20, Sports Saturday continues once again. Here's Tim Mize and Terry Tote.
Thank you, Tobinot. Welcome back to WSMI Sports Saturday. Cardinal baseball this morning, 11:45 on AM 1540. Then tomorrow night, we will have third round coverage of the NCAA tournament. The Illini will be taking on Miami. Tip time 7:40 tomorrow night. So we're assuming the pregame going to be about 7 o'clock right here on WSMI.
As I explained to Randy this morning during the Spotlight on Sports, we are now dealing with the Learfield Network with the distribution of the Illini audio. Okay, this used to be done through Illini Sports, and everything worked pretty well. Learfield, they've got 9 gazillion different teams they follow, so we're somewhere down on the list, and they'll get to us eventually. So normally at this time, the Illini would have told us 2 minutes after the game was over yesterday when they would be on.
But right.
We're assuming it's a 7 o'clock game tomorrow night.
So. Yeah. Well, they're playing yesterday. They tipped at 3:40. They're on at
three.
So they're tipping at 7:40 tomorrow. So one could assume, but we know what happens when you start assuming. But 7 o'clock, the likely start time for the pregame show tomorrow.
If you tune in tomorrow evening at 7 and stick around for a while, you'll get the Illini.
You'll get the Illini, one way or the other. And boy, we were talking before we came on the air, Terry, and they said it at the end of the broadcast yesterday, and I was thinking it.
Yeah.
You were thinking of watching the game. That was literally a microcosm of their entire season. Started strong, awful in the middle, and then gutted it out at the end. How do you make 3 field goals in the second half of a tournament game and win?
How do you score 13 points in the second half of an NCAA tournament game and win? Just unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
But they gutted it out and they played. You know, their defense wasn't that bad.
No.
Their defense was pretty dang good yesterday. They just – and when they were hitting all those three-pointers in that first half, I'm going, you know, here's what's going to – and I'm thinking in my mind, here's what's going to kill them, because they're going to need to go inside to try to establish a game, and they're going to stand outside and shoot those darn three-pointers in the second half and hit none of them, and that's exactly what happened. Well, they were 0 for 10 there at one time.
Something
from three-point
line. Maybe 0 for 11. But I'll tell you what, though, when they had to have them, DJ Richardson and Brandon Paul stepped up and got
them. But do you have to make it so dang difficult?
I know.
You know, basketball is an inside-outside game.
Yeah.
But when you don't even look to go inside, and I've pontificated from time to time how the post position has been basically wiped out of basketball in many cases. You know, Illinois is a perfect example this year, and maybe John Gross will get that changed, because you really want to be an elite program. You got to have a bruiser inside.
That's exactly right. And
got to.
That's when the Illini started to have their problems this season, the middle part of the season they alluded to. Well, that's the Big Ten part of the
season.
How
about that?
They've only lost one game to a non-Big Ten team all year, and that was Missouri in the Bragging Rights game. Other than that, they've beat every team who wasn't in the Big Ten Conference. I personally like their chances against Miami. Miami's got a couple of big boys inside, but the style that Illinois plays,
they're so quick.
They're quick, but it's that style's built for the tournament.
Yeah. It's kind of like the Cardinals and La Russa. We're going to muddle our way through the air, and once we get to the postseason, boom. You know, if we can get through the regular season, boom, we're built for the postseason.
And
Gross has done this and will continue to do this in his style with his kids, his people, over the next several years.
And the thing to me that I've seen with Illinois under Gross is he has instilled confidence in all the kids on the team. It doesn't matter what 5 are on the floor. None of them are afraid to shoot, and more importantly, not afraid to miss.
That's right.
And under Weber, they were afraid to miss. If they miss, they're on the bench getting shoot.
You know, and that's another thing. You'd see Gross yesterday. He's clapping. He's trying to be encouraging. So positive. Such a positive guy. And, boy, just a great guy to watch on the sidelines. He's very entertaining.
Yes, he is.
And he's I mean, and as loud as the crowd was, you could still hear John Gross every once in a while.
And he's had a lot of success
in the
tournament. I mean, at Ohio, a couple different years, he won at least the game. So, I mean, he knows how to win in these one-and-done scenarios. So, to me, the future for the Illini program is very bright, and I wouldn't be at least bit surprised if they knocked off Miami. I know Miami's kind of been the trendy pick in the brackets and throughout the year, but
so
I've
was New Mexico.
So was New Mexico. So was Wisconsin. So was Georgetown. But to me, I just think the Illini match up well with them. I expect them to win tomorrow.
Yeah.
I expect them to win.
I would certainly say their chances are no worse than 50-50.
Right.
I mean, I don't care what the seedings are at this point. It's about how you're playing, and not necessarily who you're playing. And if you play your game, you can be successful no matter what the sport is, you know, as long as you execute your game. So
do what you do.
Do it very well.
And this has been, to me, a very entertaining tournament. Strangely enough, through 2 days, we've had no buzzer beaters. Not a single buzzer beater. But, boy, it's been a great tournament. We saw Marquette have an improbable March comeback against Davidson on day one. St. Mary's almost won at the Horn. You had two 16s almost knock off number ones. You had a 15 knock off a two. And I tell you what, I don't know if you watched that game last night.
Yes.
If you did not have the seedings up there, you would just assume that Florida Gulf Coast was the better team. Yeah. You know, if you just had like blank jerseys, just numbers, and you're watching those two teams play, there's no way you could think that Georgetown was quote-unquote the better team.
Florida Gulf Coast was playing to win. Georgetown was playing not to lose. I think that was the most glaring thing that stood out for me from the get-go, was that Georgetown just wasn't convinced that they had to play that hard.
And that's the odd dynamic to the NCAA tournament is, in those first-round games, 1 versus 16, 2 versus 15, all the pressure is on those top seats.
Sure.
You know, those 15s and 16s, they go out there literally playing with house money. Yeah. They're expected to get blown out. And the longer they hang around, the more pressure goes on the top seed. The crowd starts to turn on you. Everybody loves an underdog. That's what the tournament's all about, is that Cinderella story. So when Florida Gulf Coast is pounding Georgetown, there's not many Hoya fans in the stands at that point.
Well, and then that's probably the greatest thing about the first weekend of the tournament is the fact that you have so many of those opportunities. And the crowds are pretty enthusiastic because, you know, it's been a year since anybody's been in a tournament. Everybody's pretty hyped up. And there are upsets more often than not in the opening rounds. And as so it just makes it a lot of fun. That's why they call it March Madness, because crazy things are supposed to happen.
Harvard.
If it didn't happen, we'd be extremely disappointed.
It'd be boring.
Yes.
The top seed just won all the time, it'd be boring.
Yeah.
I mean, who would think that Harvard would win a tournament game? Harvard.
Yeah.
Now, with that said, there's a few teams that are consistently overrated and choke like dogs in the tournament. Georgetown is always at the top of the list. Choking dogs every single year.
They have their troubles.
Yeah. To me, Louisville, a team, whenever they are a one seed like this year and expected to win, they choke like dogs. Mm-hmm. It's the years that they're not expected to win that they make their run. So Louisville, they might lose today. Or they might, you know, if they make it to the Final Four, I will be shocked, just from the standpoint we haven't seen it under Patino where they're favored to win, where they actually do.
Yeah.
Another one of those teams would be New Mexico. Every year at this time, I hear about New Mexico and Steve Alford and the great things that they're doing, this great program. They choke like dogs every single year.
What's really weird this week with Steve Alford is they go ahead and they sign him to a 10-year contract worth $2 million a year, including incentive bonuses and incentives, and then they go out and they lose the day after they announce the contract.
Right. You should have read the fine print, though.
Wow.
This contract is based on the fact that you're going to beat Harvard in the first round. And think about those great Harvard kids, you know. They could get into New Mexico.
Oh, sure.
Every one of them.
Sure.
And you know, if I was going to Harvard, I would have been trash-talking so much. You can't get into my school, and you can't even beat me on the basketball floor. That's just good. Harvard, to me, is now my team. Like, this tournament, I am rooting for Harvard.
Yeah.
Why not? You know, they're real. Them and Florida Gulf Coast, you want Cinderellas.
Sure, there you go.
There they are right there.
Yeah, that's right. There you go.
Keep an eye on SLU.
But to me, SLU's not a Cinderella, though.
SLU's a good team.
SLU's a good team.
Yeah, they're legitimately a good team. Yeah.
When I think of Cinderella, you have to be a double-digit seed.
Okay.
To me.
Yeah.
SLU, they're a trendy pick. A lot of people picking SLU to get to the Sweet 16. I've got SLU beating Louisville in one of my brackets.
Yeah.
You know? And think about it. 30 years ago is when NC State made their improbable run.
Think about
all the things working for SLU with the tragedy of Rick Majerus. Yes. This was the year. I guarantee you. 2 years ago, Rick Majerus had this year circled as the year that they were going to make their run. Think about the teams he had at Utah.
Mm-hmm. In
a very similar situation to Utah and SLU, you know, kind of out of the mainstream focus, smaller university.
Let's be honest with you. That's why they brought Majerus to St. Louis University, because they wanted to get the Billikens program back on the national map.
And they are now.
They are.
Remember, they gave Michigan State all they wanted last
year. You know
what?
They're a heck of an entertaining team to watch.
They really are. They really are. But I tell you what, though. Oregon is hot.
Mm-hmm.
Oregon is hot right now, and that'll be a very interesting game today.
Oregon, don't be surprised if Oregon goes extremely deep into the tournament.
Yeah,
here.
Good. Well, the winner, I say,
they're
the
on
winner,
a roll.
I say the winner of this SLU Oregon game has a very good chance to beat Louisville in the Sweet 16.
Well, you're just not very high on Louisville.
I am not high on Louisville. I think they're overrated. Yeah. I mean, they're good. You know, they're a good team, but they're not the best. They're not the best team in the country.
That's the great thing about this year, though, with no dominant team in men's college basketball. It is wide open, and it doesn't really make any difference if you're a one, because somewhere along the way you're going to catch your lunch probably.
And, you know, is SLU a historically great team? No. But we saw it in high school basketball this year, mm-hmm. Terry. Mm-hmm. It was a good year to be above average. You know, you didn't have to be great this year to have success, because it's all about the competition you're playing.
Sure.
And you look at SLU play, they can literally beat anybody in the country.
Well, when – you know, SLU takes care of the basketball.
Yes.
That's the biggest thing I think they've got going for them. They don't beat themselves, where other teams will come in and, you know, a lot of, and that pass will end up in the third row just every once in a while, just because, well, it's been a while since we've thrown the ball into the stands. Let's go ahead and do it and get it out of the way, okay? It seems it's almost like scripted, you know, like, oh, haven't done it for a while. Here we go, into the stands. You know, SLU just won't beat themselves.
Yeah, they play themselves. That pressure
defense. Yeah, and they're in your face, man. They're pests.
They are
pests.
Fun to watch.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. It's a fun type of basketball.
It is. You mentioned the Illini. And, you know, we've had our fun with Brandon Paul over the course of his career. Very frustrating. To me, though, the one thing you know that Brandon Paul will do, he will knock down pressure free throws.
Yes, he will.
He will do that, and he has done that throughout his career. You know, if there's a free throw to be made, I want him at the foul line. I mean, he stepped up yesterday. If he doesn't make those free throws, madness might ensue, and Colorado hits a couple of threes. We've seen it before, but he stepped up. He knocked down those pressure tosses to basically put the game on ice.
And maybe he's the guy to go to down the stretch here with the Illini. You know, maybe the finality of the situation is kicked in now.
Well, and that, yes.
You know, like,
and you could see it yesterday in his eyes that, I don't want to be done.
Yeah. You know, we didn't make the tournament last year. Here's our opportunity to at least open some eyes. And maybe that's playing into it.
That's kind of always the underlying factor in this tournament is. And you don't see as many seniors today in college basketball.
No.
As you used to.
Because if you're a good ball player, you're in the NBA.
That's right. But the finality, like you said, for these seniors, where they finally realize, you know, you're going to the press conference, all these different things. You realize, if we lose, it's over.
You know, and that's kind of like the high school level, Tim. When you get to a state tournament series in basketball, you know, regionals, sectionals, state, whatever, and your seniors, you're going, you know, half the school year is gone.
Right.
Over half. We're about two-thirds of the way through. And if you're a senior, your career as that high school student-athlete is just about done. And 99% of the student-athletes in high school never play college.
Right.
You know, that's the last time they'll ever wear a uniform for a scholastic institution. And a lot of times you start thinking, wow, didn't realize it.
Yeah.
And sometimes things kick in. So I think that's what is happening to Brandon Paul. And DJ Richardson had a pretty good game yesterday, too.
He's had a nice career.
Yes, he has.
I mean, he started as a freshman, DJ Richardson.
Yeah. Is he the kid from Peoria?
Yeah.
Wow.
I guess there was an article in the State Journal a few weeks ago about how the Peoria pipeline is finally starting to get shut off. I guess there's really no top-level players in Peoria coming out. And next year will be the first year, boy, I don't remember the exact number, in close to 20 years, that the Illini don't have a kid from Peoria on the roster. I mean, that has been a great pipeline.
Yes,
we talked about
it
a little bit last week about part of what makes the Illinois basketball scene at the high school level so great. You got the Chicago athletes, but Peoria.
Yeah.
I mean, the ball players and the teams that have come out of Peoria, just absolutely sensational. And with Simeon winning their fourth in a row, Ty and Manuel with their four in a row. And I was reading some things from the Chicago papers because we kind of had that debate.
The trib is very interesting
to read.
What's
the more important or better four-peat? And the people in Chicago said that what Manuel did was more impressive because you've got a city of basically 100,000 that did that. Whereas Simeon, you know, they've got no boundaries. And, you know, they got kids coming from different public league schools and all that. So they kind of they don't recruit, but kids can kind of choose Simeon.
No, Tim, they recruit.
Yeah, maybe they do.
A non-boundaried school, whether they actively recruit or not, still recruit.
Just don't be like the Hales Franciscan coach.
And admit it.
Had a good recruiting year. Oops, title vacated. And it's still up there, too.
That's right. If you go to the March Madness experience, it's blank.
Blank. Well, it said title vacated this year. I was looking for the blank spot. Yeah, where's it? Oh, it actually says vacated. Oops. You got to think before you speak.
Talk about a joke going wrong.
Wow. And well, great, you know, and to me, if there's one issue that the IHSA has to, two issues that they have to deal with. Number one is involving students with that are handicapped. You know, I think that's an emerging area of sports, and I think the IHSA will help lead the way as far as high school association is concerned, because they're always kind of ahead of the curve. But this thing with the discrepancy with the boundary, non-boundary, you know, that's still a bugaboo, especially with the smaller communities, the rural communities, the public schools. And I don't have a perfect fix for it. I've got my own ideas.
Right. But I don't think there is a perfect fix for it.
I don't think
it, you know?
So. I just don't
it's
think
one of those
so.
Things you're never going to be able to make everyone happy.
Right,
people
right.
at who go to public schools are always going to feel like the IHSA is favoring private schools. People who go to private schools are always going to feel the exact opposite, that the public schools are getting all the breaks. So it's just, to me, like you said, the IHSA does a great job of kind of blending the two together and making it work.
And I saw some of the Missouri stuff on
TV.
Not
the same, is it?
It's not. IHSA does a great job. They run a great tournament. The girls' tournament is great. I think that the venue for the girls' tournament probably is a little bit too big nowadays, and maybe something a little bit along the lines of a Shirk Center, size of the Shirk Center at Illinois Wesleyan, more so than ISU, would accommodate a more conducive state tournament-type atmosphere. But, you know, the crowds at Peoria this year.
Well, they were good.
They were terrific because they had good matchups all the way through, and this was a banner year for the Illinois High School.
Yeah, they weren't sold out last Saturday, but they were off the close.
They were dang close.
There was a lot of people there, and there was a great buzz in that arena, even for the third-place game. And congratulations to the Edwardsville Tigers.
Oh, yeah.
I was skeptical whether Edwardsville could really compete with those types of clubs. They did.
They did.
They did.
They did. They surprised me.
Proviso East. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Proviso East, you went to, I mean, they're on the short list of great basketball programs in the state of Illinois.
Yeah.
And Edwardsville went right at him and took home that third place trophy.
That was it was a good year for high school basketball in the state of Illinois, and as far as the tournament itself. And in spite of the fact that there was some trouble, you know, at the end of the 2A thing, you know, and most people have kind of forgotten about that now, and life goes on.
That's right.
And, you know, the smart thing about the high school association, they try not to do anything in a knee-jerk reaction. They're going to give it time. They're going to do their full investigation. And not that we're brown-nosing them guys, but, you know, they work their butts off, and they – It's a county. It's a state with 102 counties, for God's sakes. And you've got, you know, 700 plus schools. It takes a long time to get all this stuff investigated and pulled together. And they have a limited staff like everybody else.
If people have listened to the show long enough, they pretty much know about me.
Yeah.
If you're a bum, I'm going to call you a bum. You know, if you choke like a dog, I'm going to say you choke like a dog. The IHSA does a fabulous job.
They do.
One clown coach in 2A does not negate what a fantastic state tournament was put on, in the sportsmanship at the 3A and 4A tournament. Spectacular.
Yes.
Just fabulous.
Yeah. It was a good tournament. It was fun to watch. And you get to see it in person then.
Oh, man. I tell you what. I saw all those manual teams play in person when I was in high school. Seeing Simeon play in person, oh, my goodness. I'm still not sure. I think after watching Simeon play, I really think Manuel would have beat them because Manuel had Griffin and McLean on the inside. Simeon didn't have a lot of inside, but the game's different now.
Yeah.
Where, you know, it's 20 years ago.
Sure.
You spread them out, you run the floor. I don't know who would have won the game, but I know this. Jabari Parker would have been the best player on the floor.
Yeah.
That dude is amazing.
And when they stuck a microphone in his face at the end of the ball game, he couldn't speak. He was just so overcome by, and I think he was happy for his teammates and for his coach as much as anything.
And, you know, a lot of times around here, I would say, and probably will downstate to use a Chicago term. I think the public league gets a bad rap that all these kids are thugs and lawless savages. Simeon carried themselves. So, I mean, I saw no complaining to officials, no trash talking to other players, nothing like that. It was just well done by everyone involved.
Tell you what, you want to run a nationwide tournament, I'll put the CPL champion in there against anybody.
Well,
and we'll have a dang good chance to see the public league champion win the darn
thing.
That's
right. The Chicago public league champion was Whitney Young. They didn't get out of the sectional final because they lost to Whitney Young. The team that they beat in the final, Morgan Park, won the 3A title.
Yeah.
Simeon wins the 4A title. I mean, you know, if you want to bash the Chicago public league, that's fine. Yeah. You know, that's fine. But as far as basketball goes, that's as good as it gets in the state. I'm sorry.
A pipeline into college and a pipeline into the pros.
That's right. If you want to talk about D1 players and future NBA players, the public league is where it's at. You may not like it, but it's just a fact.
That's the unique aspect, though, of Illinois.
That's why it's great.
Because you've got the long state from north to south. You've got a wide state from east to west, and you get teams from all over representing different parts of the state, different styles of basketball, and that's really the neat thing about it.
And I heard the Simeon coach talking about it. It was very interesting. They were asking him about losing in the public league tournament like they did, and he put it like this, and I thought it was very well said. The public league is kind of like, speaking of college terms now, the public league tournament is like the conference tournament. The state tournament is the big dance.
Yes.
And, you know, rarely do you win both.
And the thing about the Chicago Public League, for years, the state tournament meant nothing. It was the Public League Championship. Now, the CPL, now, and you know, and again, a credit to the IHSA because they saw there was a discrepancy there that not enough Public League teams were being represented in the various sectionals and regionals. And they've addressed that situation now, and now the CPL gets their fair share of representation, and maybe still a little bit short of representation as far as the number of schools are concerned. But they now think of it as a big deal to win the state championship. So,
and you know, Simeon obviously was head and shoulders above everybody else, but those three other teams, I mean, you could put them in a hat.
Oh yeah,
and
yeah.
Who knows what's going to happen? Because they were all very evenly matched. So again, kudos to the IHSA for what a fabulous basketball season it was.
It was.
You know, from 1A to 4A, just good stuff.
The thing that gets me about basketball season, we start out there in November, and you know it takes you through mid-March a lot of times, and you're going, boy, it seems like a long season, but it seemed to me it was gone in a blink of an eye again this year. It just went so fast. This year I thought we had so many tremendous games on the radio that were good games, great matchups. We had some terrific matchups this year, and it was really a really fun year. So thank you to all the athletes and to the – you know, we don't often say thank you to the athletes, but it's because of the sponsors that come along who think this is a worthwhile thing that we're allowed to do this sort of thing. And not only is it the athletes we need to thank, but their parents, coaches, ADs, you know, the schools themselves, they always treat us so well. We are absolutely spoiled. I can talk to other people at other radio stations, and my gosh, the crap they put up with just trying to get in for a broadcast, and we don't have any problems. I mean, we're pretty fortunate. So
that's right. And we'll have our spring sports broadcast kicking off on the 1st of April.
April Fool's Day, no fooling. We're going to have. Well, it's the kind of thing where you schedule a game every day, and you know you're going to lose about a third of them. So, yeah, starting, I think, probably Dave probably got all that put on the internet right now. So we've got our first broadcast set for April Fool's Day. We're going to start off with the ladies this year, Litchfield-Lincolnwood softball on April Fool's Day. So we'll have that for you on WSMI AM 1540, and looking forward to probably getting snowed out all four games that first week.
How about that?
Five
to 8 inches of snow.
5 to 8 inches of snow. Well,
goodness.
You know.
Oh, my goodness.
Thing about this time of year, though, a lot of times it doesn't stick around long.
Right.
So. And I don't know about you being a farmer, though, Tim. Last year, very warm, very dry, tough year.
Yeah.
This year, kind of cool, kind of damp, plenty of moisture, though. Yeah. Once it does warm up.
That's right.
Bodes well for a good crop, right?
Should be good.
Okay.
I guess.
Well, we'll see.
That's the thing about... Yeah. Farming. Mm-hmm. Never know. It's like the NCAA tournament.
Roll the dice. No. NCAA is a sure thing compared to farming.
Well, that's true.
Let's face it.
That's true. As long as we don't get 100 degrees the whole month of July with no rain, I think we'll be okay. That's got to be a once in a 20, 30 year
we hope so.
Type of situation. You know,
We certainly hope so.
Well, I remember Earl said, on the 20th, the first day of spring, it was 80 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
A year ago, March 20th, it was 80 degrees.
Yeah.
And now here we are basically about 370 days later, going to have half a foot of snow on the ground. So,
well, Detroit, first day of
good
spring.
Good old mid-Illinois.
Detroit, first day of spring last year, temperature high, 82 degrees. First day of spring this year, they're high in Detroit, 28 degrees. Flipped it.
Yeah.
So why do you have a temperature from Detroit?
I heard it on the way to work. One of those weird fact type things.
Maybe you were making contacts with people in Detroit for something, you know?
Not this Blues fan.
You mean hockey?
Yeah, we're getting them out of the conference this year, finally. After this year, finally.
Cubs of hockey. St. Louis Blues.
St. Louis Blues.
The Cubs of hockey. We need a break. Back with more after this.
Steak on the Grill, a crisp salad and baked potatoes served with Prairie Farms sour cream. Plan your next cookout around farmer-owned Prairie Farms dairy products. Sour cream for the baked potatoes, butter for the vegetables and rolls. For a dip everyone will enjoy, Prairie Farms French onion dip, perfect with chips or crunchy fresh veggies. And to quench that warm weather thirst, grab a plastic pint of 100% pure Prairie Farms orange juice. Taste the homemade goodness of farmer-owned Prairie Farms. There are those who go to work in a factory, those who sit in an office from 9 to 5, those who travel to a construction site, and then there are those who wake before dawn, spend their entire day in a field, put their blood, sweat, and tears into their job, and finish the work week long after 40 hours have passed. To the farmers of America, we salute you. This message is brought to you by Teamwork Rehab, getting you back in the game, a division of Hillsborough Area Hospital, your front door to a world of healthcare.
And at 9:45, let's take a look at the weather forecast brought to you by CarQuest in Carlinville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest. Partly cloudy skies for today. We'll have highs in the upper 40s. Cloudy skies with snow beginning late tonight. Lows will be in the low 30s. Heading into tomorrow, cloudy skies with snow. Highs will be in the mid-30s. Up to 6 inches of snow is possible for tonight and tomorrow. Extended look at the forecast Monday through Wednesday. Cloudy skies with a chance of snow on Monday. Highs will be in the mid-40s. The lows will be in the low 30s. At 9:46, we have a temperature reading of 39 degrees. And the weather forecast is brought to you by CarQuest in Carlinville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest. Sports Saturday continues in just a moment.
Since 1899, four generations of Huffs have been dedicated to serving families in Central Illinois. Today, they continue that tradition of compassion, personal attention, and professional service that started long ago. The Huff family has always tried to place the needs of their families first, to provide them the information to make wise decisions at such a delicate time in their life. Today, Dan and David Huff continue this family tradition. Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro, you do have a choice.
If you're a farmer in ag business, it's good to bank with people you know and trust. This is Jim Miller with Security National Bank. I'm experienced in ag lending and ready to serve all the needs of your farming operation, including purchasing farmland, livestock, equipment, and more. Stop by and see me today for all of your ag needs and ask about our competitive rates. Security National Bank, big enough to serve you, small enough to know you, with four locations to serve you in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. Visit us on the web at securitynb.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
And at 9:47, Sports Saturday continues. Once again, here's Tim Mize and Terry Tote.
Tobinat, thank you very much. And, of course, the state tournament wrapped up last week, but now the All-Star Games begin.
Yes, now the All-Star. And Carlinville Rotary Club having their annual All-Star Game at the high school coming up tomorrow afternoon. Things will start off about 4 o'clock. They'll play the girls' All-Star Game, boys' All-Star Game. Concession stand will be operating. Of course, this is a way to for the Rotary Club to make some money, and they do so many terrific things in the city of Carlinville. See, Kevin Gray of Gillespie is coaching the West girls team, Ken Schuster from Paint of the East, and Alan Cooper from Carlinville coaching the West boys team, and Drew Logan from Litchfield the East. So there you go. And they also have like 3-point shootouts and stuff like that. So it's a lot of fun, about 50 kids from around the area involved, boys and girls, in the All-Star event coming up tomorrow afternoon at Carlinville High School.
And for years to come, all those kids can say, hey, I played in an All-Star game.
There you go. That's right.
You don't get that much at the high school level.
No, you
that
don't.
That really is a great thing that the Rotary does.
Yes.
There.
And you know, the proliferation of these All-Star games around the state has – it's kind of like the bowl games at, you know, New Year's anymore. There's just a ton of them. But at least they do a nice job of keeping the kids local. So kids, you know, get to put on the uniform one more time.
That's right. And
what I guess – one of the neat things about it is the fact that you've played against so many of these kids in your career, and now you get to perhaps be teammates with them, and that's always kind of a neat thing too. So,
you know, the IHSA, they always really like to promote the sportsmanship, and we see it night in, night out, not just during basketball season, but whether it's football, baseball, or softball. But you see it more in basketball because there's more interaction between the opponents, you know, a chance for you to help up an opponent if they were down on the floor. Just the sportsmanship, outstanding.
Yeah, and again, the state basketball tournament's the showcase event for the Illinois High School Association. So, you know, it's good to see the kids shake hands at the beginning of the game, afterwards, and you know, the fan support, I thought this year was terrific. When Nokomis was there in 1A and, you know, in the 1A and 2A tournaments, they had great crowds, and they're just very enthusiastic. So it's a fun year.
The sad thing is, it's not just high school sports. It's college sports or pro sports. Usually the bad sportsmanship comes from the stands.
From the stands,
not
yeah.
Not necessarily
yeah.
the players on the floor, but the people in the
well,
stands.
And I think most of that is college level. Yeah. You know, oh, it's man. Not necessarily the high school level. The high school kids are still in pretty good pretty behave themselves pretty well, but the college kids.
Well, that's because usually the high school kids are sober during the game. College kids rarely sober.
Well, you know,
rarely.
I wasn't going to bring that up, Tim, but I think that probably plays into
and
it at least
yes,
a little bit.
Yes, I am speaking from experience.
Did you go to Lance before they remodeled all that?
Yeah.
It was back with the wooden, yeah. still had the wooden bleachers?
No. There was no wooden bleachers in there. It was remodeled, I guess, then.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, they were plastic.
Back in the old days.
Yeah.
It was loud and wild and woolly.
Oh yeah, it was fun going to games
yeah.
in Lance.
Yeah, that's a great venue. Yeah. I kind of miss not having a super sectional there. I thought always a great place over there. So
even when I was at Eastern, I mean the basketball team wasn't that great. I got there yeah. after Dahmer Kant.
Yeah,
and Hill. Like
yeah.
they'd gone to the NCAA tournament, a 15 seed, and lost to Arizona.
Yeah.
Then I showed up the next year, and they really weren't very good, but it was still fun.
Oh yeah,
to go to a college basketball game. You know, like even with SIUE
mm-hmm.
being D1 now, they're in the Ohio Valley, same conference as Eastern. It's just, it's a step up. You know,
yeah.
you think, D2, it's a different
It's physical,
world.
It's quick.
Different world
yeah,
than
it is.
D1.
Of course, you had a good quarterback there, didn't you?
Well, yeah, the football team was pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of choking dogs, Tony Romo. I love Tony Romo. Big fan of Tony Romo. But even in college, he choked like a dog in the playoffs. One seed, last 2 years there, lost in the first round. I kid you not, lost in the first round of the 1AA playoff, because they have a playoff system
yeah.
for 1AA mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. FC, whatever it is.
Whatever
now.
It's called. Yeah.
Well, yeah,
yeah.
Whatever it is. 1AA. They lost in the first round both years. It's the Cowboys. Whoop, whoop. Has trouble in the playoffs. Just some guys are like that. You know, some athletes,
mm-hmm.
for whatever reason, when the chips are down and the pressure's at its biggest, highest peak, they can't rise to the occasion. And it pains me to say it, but unfortunately, I think Tony Romo falls into that category. But he was fun to watch.
This from the Eastern guy.
This from the Eastern guy. That's right. That's right.
Speaking of Eastern guys, Roger Craudeville was the guest speaker at the Litchfield Chamber of Commerce. And, of course, Roger, a graduate of Eastern Illinois University, and up until recently held all sorts of baseball records while he was going there. And just a great friend of ours. And I understand Roger did a great job at the Chamber of Commerce dinner the other night. So,
well, and with summer approaching, we had Roger and his son Tim
yeah, yeah.
in for our summer series a few years ago talking.
We'll do that again
baseball.
This year.
Yeah,
too.
That's coming
yeah,
up,
yeah.
our summer series. We've got some pretty exciting
oh, yeah.
guests lined up for the summer.
Yeah, we, young lady, Olivia Lett, who played for Pena for 4 seasons, and then she's now playing professionally in Spain. She's involved with the All-Star Basketball game. So, we're going to talk with Olivia. When she gets done with her career or this year's season in Spain. We've also talked with Dave Kane, our buddy from the State Journal Register. We were trying to get together with Dave and just kind of pick his brain a little bit. And, you know, he does such a great job with, you know, the one thing he does so well, I think, is the fact that he was a guy that went to a small school and understands what it means to the communities, the sports programs and the pride that goes with it. And he really does a great job of relating that to us.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, yeah, that's
yeah,
exactly right.
You know,
that comes through when
yeah,
you read
yeah,
his articles
yeah,
in the
yeah,
State Journal.
Yeah, he does, and he's a good, just a good guy. So we've kind of coerced Dave into coming and visiting with us. And, of course, Melissa Van Giesen, who's always with us in July, talking about how to acclimate yourself to, you know, football training, soccer training, and the fall sports and stuff. So we've got a good lineup of people.
And I think we've got our officials coming
yes,
in as well.
Yes.
Danny Smith,
yeah.
probably Carl Ray.
Carl Ray Fesser.
We'll have to batten down the hatches whenever he shows up.
Have to pad the walls. And,
that's
you know,
right.
Completely.
But that has the potential
yeah.
to really be a very informative
mm-hmm.
show, you know, because a lot of people, they don't like officials. I should say they don't like officials.
They don't understand them.
They don't understand
yeah,
them. That's
yeah,
exactly
yeah.
right. So hopefully this will provide a forum for people to maybe realize, you know what? These guys get 99% of these calls, right?
Oh, sure. And it's a split second thing. Yes. And the thing about it is they do it because they love the game.
That's right.
They don't make any darn money.
No, they don't.
they take a lot of crap.
Probably lose money.
Their bodies are abused. They're not getting any younger. And just the dedication they show, because without officials, you don't have games.
That's right.
I had to laugh. Louis Lang was officiating a game in Hillsborough, and he bought a brand new pair of shoes that he was wearing for the first time. And he's refereeing the JV basketball game, and next thing you know, we look on the court, and there's this black powder substance like all around the home court, and that his shoes, his brand new pair of shoes, exploded on the court.
Uh-oh. Wow.
Uh-oh.
That's not good.
No.
Hope he kept the receipt for that one.
Oh, I'm sure he did.
Problem is that the shoes he bought were like no longer in stock.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what happened about that.
I'm sure he got a refund.
Yeah.
Probably. But there you talk about, the need for younger officials, mm-hmm. like a guy like Jeremy Smith, such a great young official. But this is something, it's going to become a problem. Not just for the IHSA, but I would imagine nationwide mm-hmm. at the high school level, trying to find young people who want to get into officiating. Because like you said, money, not good. It's got to be strictly for the love of the game. And the abuse that they take, why would anybody want to do it? I mean, it is pure love
sure.
of the game.
Sure it is. And, the dynamics of the family life have changed now. So many people have to commute to get to work, which doesn't allow them to necessarily have the time to do these sort of things. So it's not just the fact they don't want to do it. They just can't do it. They just can't make the time. It's a different society we live in. And that is – and, we when we're at the golf course for the Bud Reinecke tournament, Louis Lang joins us. Right. And we talk every year about the need for officials, and in every sport. It's becoming a critical thing. And, this is something that needs to be addressed. I know it's being addressed by the IHSA and other groups that represent officials. They're trying to get young people involved. But it's just such a tough thing.
All you need to know about Louis Lang is this. Man had a blown hammy during the football. So, like, black and blue. Litchfield gets hosed by the crew they had. Were double booked. So they had no official. They call up Louis. Wouldn't you know, shows up there on one leg and does the game.
Yeah.
That's all you need to know about Louis Lang.
And the officials, there are a lot of officials like that.
Yes.
They think they have a night off, and, well, all of a sudden, they don't.
That's right. It's like radio. There's never really a night off.
There's really never a
night
off.
You're always on call.
Yeah, you're always on call somewhere along the way, and, crazy things can happen. So, but, for people who are out there, give up their time, and have to learn to make these split-second decisions in the game. And remember, it's just a game.
Just a game.
It really is.
It is?
A game. Just a game.
Just
it really
a game.
Is.
Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
The sun comes up every morning.
That's weird.
It's amazing.
No matter if there was a blown call?
Yep.
But what if my team lost in a bad call?
Yeah, well,
You mean the sun still comes up?
How many free throws did they make? How many first quarter free throws did they make? Or did they miss?
Right.
How many turnovers in the first quarter did you have? How many rebounds did you not get because you didn't block out?
The Illini were the perfect example yesterday of the first half was just as important.
Yeah.
Build up that big lead, and boy, did they use every bit of it.
Oh, man. I tell you, scoring 13 points in the second half and winning.
And winning.
Scrat,
survive in advance.
That's your one.
Yeah.
You've used it up now.
Right.
You better not play like that again because you will be done.
That's right. So we will have the Illini for you tomorrow night about 7 o'clock here on FM 106. In the round of 32, the Illini will take on Miami. Cardinal baseball coming up this morning at 11:45 on AM 1540. And, Terry, you were saying, sounds like Adam Wainwright might be getting a new contract here in the next few days.
That's the scuttlebutt that sometime here in the next two or three days they're going to announce a contract for Wainwright, which will put him in the fold and make him a Cardinal probably the rest of his life. And that's just fine by me because you've got Holiday sign, you got Craig sign now, you got Yachty sign, you got Wainwright sign.
And the big thing with the Wainwright signing, all this young pitching coming
up,
he's basically going to become the new Chris Carpenter.
That's right.
The mentor of the staff. Teach the Shelby Millers,
yes.
the Joe Kellys, the Trevor Rosenthals,
mm-hmm.
how to win at the big league level because it's everyone's talented.
Sure.
I mean, the great thing about Chris Carpenter was the bulldog mentality.
Yes.
He taught it to Wainwright.
Mm-hmm.
Now, hopefully, the Cardinals get Wainwright locked up, and he'll teach it to the next one. And that's why the Cardinals have been such a great franchise.
And I'll tell you right now, Chris Carpenter may never pitch again, but he'll be around the Cardinals.
Oh, yeah.
He will have some information and some insights to dispel to these young pitchers.
And if the Cardinals would have signed Albert to that monstrous contract, Wainwright, that contract, and Yachty's contract probably wouldn't have been possible.
You're exactly right,
that's
Tobin.
That's exactly right.
You're right.
We are out of time here on WSMI Sports Saturday. For Tobin, Terry, I'm Tim. This is WSMI FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carthenville, and Greenville, the station you can count on.